Hey, this is Josh Hutcherson, and you're listening to Fat Guys at the Movies.
Greetings, couch potatoes all across the country, around the world, and on the internet. I'm Kevin Carr.
And I'm Neil Miller, and you are listening to Fat Guys at the Movies.
Yes, if you've listened to us last week, you heard us talk about the regular guys' take on the movies, what we think, and none of this artsy-fartsy BS. You know, we are the chubby cinephiles, the flabby film geeks, the rotund reviewers, and when we sit around a movie theater, we really sit around a movie theater.
Absolutely.
Don't go to the movies, don't go to the video store until you hear what we have to say, and welcome to the show.
And welcome to the show, and we are joined today by Brian Gibson, who is the co-editor of FilmSchoolRejects.com. Brian, how you doing?
Pretty good. How are you, Neil?
I'm doing absolutely fantastic. So we're going to go over all kinds of fun stuff today, right?
Yeah, today, you heard in our introduction, way at the beginning, you heard Josh Hutcherson from
Firehouse Dog.
Firehouse Dog and other movies like Zathura and RV. We've got a little interview with him later on. We've also got our exclusive take on Grindhouse, but we're going to start off right now with some other quality flicks to discuss. First off, we're going to hit the movie reviews of Are We Done Yet? This is the sequel to the Ice Cube blockbuster, Are We There Yet? And a remake of Mr. Blanding's Builds the Dream House with Cary Grant. You wouldn't think Cary Grant,
Ice Cube, I don't know.
Whatever. Well, here's a little clip of the film.
The place was built in 1889.
It's a really amazing place to raise a family.
Can we really afford this house?
She is a fixer-upper.
Guess what? I can do the fixing.
See, everything is working out just like I promised. I can fix that.
Mm-hmm. I think you should just call a contractor. Are we done yet?
Now, Kevin, you were the only one of us that was brave enough to go out and see this one, despite the fact that we see this one for free.
That's right. I took one for the team here. This movie was, I will give it this. It's what you'd expect from this movie. It's not Shakespeare, but I don't think anybody's expecting Shakespeare for this film at all. If you saw Are We There Yet, then you have an idea of what you're in for with Are We Done Yet. Like I said, it's the sequel to Are We There Yet, but it's a remake of Mr. Blanding's Builds a Dream House with Cary Grant.
And like I said, and I'm willing to give it a little bit because it has one of my favorite guys of all time, John C. McGinley, shows up.
Yeah, he's great in it.
As the real estate agent slash contractor
slash plumber slash
you know, I'll take your money
lawyer,
you know,
you slash astronaut, everything. But he's brilliant in it, as he's brilliant in everything he does. And I've yet to see something of his. I mean, I've seen plenty of stuff he's been in that I didn't like, but I've never not really liked him. But he's really not enough to save the movie. It's kind of you know.
Right.
This is the one that's going to get kind of sucked rating from me.
Yeah, I can only give it a blind rating, but it has to be a kind of suck.
You didn't suffer through that one yourself. Well, we'll go ahead and move on to something else that you also haven't seen, correct? Firehouse Dog.
Yes, by choice, once again, decided to sleep in.
Yes, and with our special guest Josh Hutcherson's film opening this week, actually opened on Wednesday. Here's a clip.
He was the hottest thing to hit the big screen.
Compared to you, that Taco Bell dog is just a taquito.
But Hollywood's top dog...
Skydiving stunt, take one.
His parachute didn't open!
...is about to hit an all-time low. Now, a dog who needs a home and a kid who needs a friend...
No mom and a firefighter dad.
...are about to find each other.
Ugh. Well, that was obviously the burp, which was, I took my 3-year-old son to see this movie. That was his favorite part. They appreciated the bathroom humor, farts, and some pooping humor, too.
A certain type of humor that is not lost on that particular demographic, the 5 to 10-year-olds.
Yes. Well, my 3-year-old liked it.
Well, 3-year-olds, so, too. Wow.
Yeah, it's sort of like a family film with a little bit of teeth. It's got a little bit of crassness to it, and if you're into that sort of thing... It's cute. It's really, the problem is Josh Hutcherson's good in it, but he's not given a whole lot to work with. And that's just not me kissing ass. That's just sort of the way it is. It's not the greatest plotted film that I've ever seen. So
yeah, well, I mean, thankfully you don't have to kiss ass. We already did the interview, so
that's right.
But realistically, a movie like that, you really got to have some interest in seeing it. Otherwise, I would not risk it.
Yeah, and since it's the movie, the family movie, one of the family movies of the week, open on Wednesday, trying to take advantage of, I guess, Holy Week.
Is it Holy Week?
It is Holy Week.
Oh,
but,
man.
You know, I think it was more taking advantage
or something.
Yeah, I think they're taking advantage of spring break. And, you know, it opened on Wednesday to pick up some crowds, and it probably did pretty well with the family market. But, again,
yeah, not a big one.
I'd have to put out a Kind of Sucked on that one.
I'm going to go with Kind of Sucked as well. What can I say?
You didn't even see it.
I know. I just based on the trailer, it kind of sucked.
That's right. Well, you know, next let's move on to something else that is another movie that may get a slightly different review. I don't know. We'll see. This is The Hoax, starring Richard Gere and Marcia Gay Harden and
Alfred Molina.
Doc Ock himself, yeah. So here's a little clip.
McGraw-Hill is not publishing your book. Book gone. The bomb has dropped.
I've had it.
I'm working on the most important book of the 20th century.
Couldn't you have just said of the decade?
Howard Hughes, the billionaire?
His exclusive authorized autobiography.
As soon as they find out it's a fake, they'll sue you for libel.
Handwriting experts told us your letters from Mr. Hughes are authentic.
How do you respond to accusations that you've made all of this up?
Who is this?
Well, Kevin, now this is one of those that I actually saw this week. I tore myself out of my house, away from my computer, soon to be my new fancy computer.
Hey, you're getting
to see a little bit of Richard Gere. Now, I'm not normally a fan of Richard Gere, and this one really doesn't help that at all. if you are a fan of Richard Gere, this one is all him. The thing I didn't like, though, is it just kind of dips into this paranoid, almost hoaxical, no pun intended, story about this guy who makes up this story about Howard Hughes, and then somehow they tie it into the Watergate scandal, and I'm like, are you serious? You really want me to believe that this guy started Watergate? Not to give anything away, but I mean, that's
well,
kind of middle of the movie.
It's sort of very self-important on the guy, and although I hear that the guy it's about has sort of discounted the movie and said that a lot of it's fabrication, and even, you know, the director, Lars Hestrom, I think that's how you pronounce his name, has said that he's made stuff up, you know, so it's very typical based on a true Hollywood story that's not really true.
Right.
Though I found it fascinating how he worked and was able to get all of his, fabricate the hoax, but the problem is they kept dipping into his personal life and his marriage problems,
and
that was just boring.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I don't know. It was fun for a moment, but ultimately, I'm gonna say kind of sucks.
Yeah, for me, kind of sucks. It doesn't total suck, but it kind
of
sucks.
That's a lot of suck.
We open it up with sucking, but when we come back, we're gonna be talking about the big movie everyone's talking about this weekend, Grindhouse.
All right, and we're back, and we're going to talk about Grindhouse here. But before we talk about Grindhouse, there's one more movie, a Thursday release, which is kind of curious. But everybody wants to get ahead of Grindhouse this week, and it is The Reaping, which we just saw fairly freshly.
Yeah.
And it stars Hilary Swank as a woman who disproves biblical myths. So we're going to play a little clip here, come back, and we'll talk about it.
Folks, I'm worried that this is a plague.
As an Old Testament plague?
As in God, Moses, the whole deal.
I can give you 100 reasons why your rivers turned red. 10 plagues, 10 scientific explanations.
I'm trying to tie this into one single source.
Let me save you some time. She's 5 foot tall, blonde, and she lives out there in the damn swamp.
She's just a child.
If that's what you think,
then the devil has already won.
You hear from my girl. Are you going to kill my baby?
No.
Ooh, scary. Well, you know what? This one, you mentioned the release date. It was originally scheduled to release on April 5th. They moved it to April 5th. It was originally April 6th. Moved to April 5th. Ostensibly, it was about Good Friday. Now, I don't know if it's because they were trying to, you know, get the lot of the kids who are off of school on Good Friday, or whether they were trying to observe some sort of religious thing. You know, they opened the Omen on a Tuesday, 6606, last year.
Yeah, but then again, that one made sense.
That did make sense. And, well, whereas The Reaping just didn't make sense. The whole movie itself.
Well, the release date, the movie, as long as you're going to be consistent, it might as well all not make sense.
Yeah, nothing made sense in this movie. And, you know, I like a good Armageddon movie myself, and mm-hmm. Nothing wrong. You know, hey, the devil belongs in the theater sometimes. But it unraveled, and they spent too much time with flashbacks on Hilary Swank's character and just kind of going all over the place. And when they finally kind of explain what goes on, I still found myself sitting there going, what's going on? It was just, didn't make a whole lot of sense and kind of had a bizarrely twisted ending that just seemed thrown in for shock value more than anything else.
Yeah, I'm with you on that one. I really thought that this is a movie that, first of all, it's a stretch. 10 biblical plagues in the middle of a Louisiana swamp. But I'm okay with giving it a stretch. But this one kind of goes too far, especially the ending. And if you're going to go see it, you'll know what I mean. If you're not going to go see it, don't worry about it. It's not that big of a deal. But the ending, you're just like, come on. Really? You expect me to believe all this crap? Hilary Swank, normally, very good actress. Nice to see her playing an actual woman. As opposed to some of her other roles. I did not like her in The Black Dahlia. I thought one of her best roles.
Yeah.
But she comes back. She does okay. But she really is just kind of a hokey biblical story.
It's the Hilary Swank pay the mortgage movie. You know, something like The Core after she won for Boys Don't Cry. She did The Core. And you know, is had to do the big movie.
Right.
And didn't choose the good one. So
yes.
That's about all I really want to talk about that. Let's move on to something.
Wait, well, we got to grade it.
Oh, it
don't
sucked.
Don't go too far.
It sucked.
I'm going to go sucked.
Yeah, sucked. It wasn't that. There's no kinda about
this
that
is. One. We're going to call this the It Sucked Show.
The It Sucked Show. But wait. What do we have next? We have Grindhouse, the saving grace of the weekend, the one that a lot of the fanboys have been talking about, worrying about, and anticipating. Here is a clip.
From the directors of Reservoir Dogs, Desperado, Pulp Fiction, From Dusk Till Dawn, Once Upon a Time in Mexico, Kill Bill, and Sin City, Tarantino and Rodriguez are back. Only this time, they're back to back with a double feature that'll tear you in two. First,
I got bit.
Bit by what?
If I told you, you probably wouldn't believe me.
Robert Rodriguez, Planet Terror, plus Quentin Tarantino's Death Proof.
Do I frighten you? Is it my scar? It's your car.
Planet Terror and Death Proof. Only at the Grindhouse.
Ooh, only at the Grindhouse. Now, this is one that a lot of people are excited about. Now, Brian, you were particularly excited about this one.
More excited than The Reaping.
More excited than The Reaping. On,
yeah. And I was pretty pumped about The Reaping, so... yeah, I would say the main thing that got me really excited about it is because Tarantino and Robert Rodriguez kind of have this big brother, little brother relationship that they have going on, where Tarantino is kind of throwing him some bones here and there, you know, in the past. And it looks as if Rodriguez is going to rise above that and kind of show some superiority to the filmmaking of Tarantino, which that is what's kind of drawing me to the film.
And I will say that is one of the things that I picked out from the film. The first part is better. Rodriguez, he directs the first one, which is Planet Terror, and it fulfills the prophecy of everything that is exploitation.
Whereas, you've seen these movies from the 70s and 80s, these crazy zombie shoot 'em up, insane violent movies, Rodriguez hit it perfectly.
Yep.
Exactly as it needed to be. Tarantino, not so much.
I really thought that Quentin gets in his own way sometimes. And in movies like Pulp Fiction, the dialogue, you have like 40 minutes of dialogue, 3 minutes of action. 40 minutes of dialogue, 3 minutes of action. In most of his movies, the dialogue is fantastic, and it really draws you into the characters, sells you into the movie. Here, the dialogue was terrible. So you have all this bad dialogue, and then this wicked cool car chase scene at the end, which you see it in the trailer, but you have to see the whole thing. This is probably one of the better car chase scenes you'll see in movies today.
Yeah, when it comes to Death Proof, which was Quentin Tarantino's second installment, he tried to do the characterization, but the girls that he used in there, while they're pretty and very great to look at, and yeah, you know, Quentin's got a foot thing for Sidney Poitier, and so do I after this movie. I'll tell you that. I'd wanted to, you know, pick the leg up off the road. But I'll tell you, it is... not Jules and Vincent in the car talking about Big Macs in France. It doesn't have the same oomph. It's not as much. But I'll tell you, overall, the movie was very satisfying. First of all, it's two movies. So if you like one and you didn't like the other one, or if the one's
at least get your money's worth.
Yeah, you get your money's worth. It's 3 hours long. The best part is I've watched these sort of exploitation films in film festivals and late night movie fests and all that kind of stuff. And they have brought, both Quentin Tarantino and Robert Rodriguez have kind of brought exploitation to an art form. And Quentin has done that on his other movies. This is really Rodriguez's chance to shine. And he really does. He nails it, and he gets the genre perfectly from everything, from every frame drop and every scratch is incredible. But the best part...
The best part is
the trailers.
The trailers in between. So there's an intermission in between. Both movies are about an hour and a half. The running time total is 3 hours, 5 minutes. But there are three trailers, one directed by Edgar Wright, who you'll remember from Shaun of the Dead. The other directed by Rob Zombie, who you know. And the last from Eli Roth, who directed Hostel, all good friends in this little kind of
as well pack. As the Machete trailer.
The Machete
in the
trailer.
Beginning.
He did the Machete trailer in the beginning.
Which is Rodriguez.
The trailers are absolutely fantastic. I mean, one of them is called Werewolf Women of the SS.
I swear, I've seen movies exactly like that. Trailers. I swear to God, these sort of SS. Well, there's Ilsa SS and all that kind of stuff. These trailers are spot on and perfect. They are the best thing in the movie. They are worth sitting through, even if you hate both parts of it.
Yep, so I'm going to say a definite rocks on Grindhouse. Brian, what do you say?
Well, I haven't seen it yet, but I'm going to have to say it's probably going to rock.
All right, cool.
It definitely, definitely rocks. Check out Grindhouse. That's the movie of the weekend. This is the penultimate. Robert Rodriguez does for this what he did for comic book movies with Sin City. I can't wait for Grindhouse 2 to come out. Now we're going to go to the break, but when we come back, we're going to talk about box office prediction. What are these going to do this week? Is anyone going to get rid of 300 or Blades of Glory? We shall see.
Flowers lonely, burn out slowly like a cigarette. But you kiss me.
All right, and we're back, and we're gonna crunch some numbers here, a little box office for you. But first, let's talk about last weekend's box office, with Blades of Glory leading the way at $33 million. Barely staving off Meet the Robinsons, which is kind of a surprise to me. Meet the Robinsons, $25 million, always pretty interesting. And both of those, 300 came in third, with Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, Wild Hogs, still hanging around. I'm sticking with Wild Hogs. That was a pretty darn good movie. But the interesting thing about this weekend is some of the smaller theater counts on movies like Grindhouse, only 2,600 theaters, going up against 3,400 for both Blades of Glory and Meet the Robinsons.
Well, I still think Grindhouse is gonna rake in the numbers simply because it's going to pack the houses. And it's not going to do a 60, 70 million weekend, but I'm thinking it's still going to be, you know, 30 million.
Yeah, I'll call the over on 30 million. But I still think Blades of Glory is going to do over 25.
Blades of Glory will probably come in number two.
Yeah, because there's a lot of word of mouth around that. Everybody's saying it's really funny.
And Meet the Robinsons, you know what? If I had to choose between the family movies, Meet the Robinsons is going to beat out Are We Done Yet and Firehouse Dog.
Yep.
Everything's going to leave the reaping in the dust because that was the most worst of the weekend.
Yep, I'm going to pick that one under 10.
Yes. Yep. So, Grindhouse is going to top the weekend. But when we come back, we're going to talk about DVDs, do an interview with Josh Hutcherson, and talk to our special guest. And we are back with Fat Guys at the Movies. We've got three fat guys here for the price of two. I'm Kevin Carr.
I'm Neil Miller.
I'm Brian Gibson.
Brian Gibson coming in, flying in from Film School Rejects to help us out. We're going to be talking DVDs in this half of the show, or this portion of the show. Later on, we're going to have Josh Hutcherson interview and a little bit of spotlight on Brian, and then we'll recap all the movies. If you missed the first half hour, I don't know how you could.
Yeah,
it's a podcast,
I don't know why you
unless
could.
You fast-forwarded through it. You know, we can't be that boring. Or maybe we are. But let's talk DVDs now with the DVD roundup. I'm going to give you my pick of the one for the week. And I'll tell you, last couple weeks, DVDs have been pretty good. There have been a good amount of DVDs that I would recommend. This week, not so much. It's kind of a barren playing field out here. Yep. I'd have to say the best one out there that I've seen is Charlotte's Web. Mm-hmm. The live action sort of, not animatronic, but, you know, CGI, you know, version of the cartoon when we were kids. And it was cute. It followed the movie well. Julia Roberts kind of sucked as Charlotte, but, you know.
Really?
Yeah, well, it's Julia Roberts. Julia Roberts.
It is Julia Roberts.
You know, she won an Oscar, but she won an Oscar for Erin Brockovich, you know, which is basically her main role. And she can't act her way out of a paper bag. But, you know, that's just my opinion.
It's a big statement.
My opinion. Paper bag. Let's put her in a paper bag. I will do that experiment any day of the week. Put her in a paper bag. Bet she can't get out of it. But yeah, Charlotte's Web, that's a good one to check out, especially one for the kids.
All right, well, I'm not going to go trashing any American Sweethearts on this one, but I am going to trash The President a little bit with Death of a President, which was one of the most controversial films of last year. Kind of fizzled out a little bit, but it is the mockumentary about the assassination of...
Not really a mockumentary, because it's not as funny.
More of a real, serious, fake documentary.
Yes.
It is very intelligently made. About the assassination of President Bush. Some very interesting ways to cut together. I believe there's a scene in there where Vice President Cheney says the eulogy, and it literally is pieces, parts of Vice President Cheney. So,
I've heard that you haven't seen this one yet, actually.
I have not seen this one. I could not find it in my local retail store. That store will remain nameless at this point. I had to go on Amazon.com and purchase it, so you will have a full review up on Film School Rejects here very shortly, but I'm very excited. So excited, I paid the $1.99 for the next day shipping with my Amazon Prime account, but I really didn't see anything out there this week that I liked. So this is the one that I kind of went after. So I'm gonna go with Death of a President, Brian.
Well, you know what? I'm just gonna have to take issue because we gotta have the disagreement, you know, and I gotta make fun of you, you know. Since you haven't seen the movie yet, I will give you the benefit of the doubt. And it was very controversial, but it did fizzle. And why did it fizzle? It was boring. I found it incredibly boring. It made my top 10 worst movies of the year.
Whoa.
It just because I literally went and saw it, and I was like, there was no excitement whatsoever. You know, I mean. Say what you want. I don't care, president or not. You know, if you like Bush or you don't like Bush, it's just boring. And the scene with Cheney, it was taken all out of Reagan's funeral, and they overdubbed his voice, and they did. It was sort of like, well, you know, we're gonna talk about the president we really respect, George Bush. It was a really bad overdub. it was definitely, you know, sounded with a political agenda, but you know, it's sort of like. The Omega Code was a religious agenda, but that was also a stupidly boring movie. So I don't care, you know, where I don't care where you fall the political spectrum. Just don't bore me. Don't make me fall asleep.
Well, I'm gonna see it, and we may next week's show. We may
you're gonna come back with a tail between your legs.
Either a fat guy fight or the first fat guy cry on
that's
the show.
Right. That's right.
So we're gonna move on. Go ahead, Brian. What is your pick of the week?
I'm going to have to say Volvere. I've always been a big fan of Penelope Cruz.
Especially in Sahara?
I've always been a big fan of Penelope Cruz from the neck down.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. Well, that's understandable. There's
uses for her from the neck up. I'll tell you that.
Okay. All right. Fair enough.
I'm sure.
Well, what I like is that this time she's finally getting recognized for doing something, you know, positive on the screen with her acting prowess. It's a more personal piece because she has a history with director Pedro Almodovar. I'm sure I'm butchering his name here, but she has a long history with him. She's done a lot of stuff with him, more kind of intimate pieces. And Volvere, I mean, it shined. She was the first Spanish-born actress to be nominated for an Oscar, and that was kind of one of the things that were downplayed at the Oscars.
Didn't Ellen DeGeneres say that she was Cuban or something at the Oscars?
Something goofy.
She's like, oh, these Mexicans, and she's not Mexican at all.
Yeah.
Well, let me ask you this: Do you think it helped her because it was in her native language? I mean, it's very hard to just learn another language yet to act in it, even in a different accent, let alone a whole different language. Is it the thing that's cobbling her in her American roles? That she's doing in English?
I really don't because, I mean, and I hate to sound cliche here, but the language of film is universal.
So you're standing behind Sahara, then, is what you're saying.
No, I'm not standing behind Sahara. Sahara, no.
Sahara had its own problems.
What was with that hat?
No, but Volvere had it had some great qualities to it. It's a great flick, and she did a great job with it.
Yeah, that's one I haven't seen yet. It was one that I'm
going to throw in my Blockbuster rental queue. And you can sign up Blockbuster on the sidebar of filmschoolrejects.com.
You're such a whore.
But I was actually interested to see this one. I haven't seen it yet. I missed it last year, and we'll give it a chance. It's worth a shot, I think.
Okay, yeah. I mean, I have no problem with it. I mean, I think Penelope Cruz is fine. Mm. You know, in not just, you know, in an acceptable way, but as fine in sort of a sexy way. So, yeah.
All right, yeah. Yeah, now there were a couple of releases that are absolutely unacceptable to have in your collection.
Like The Good Shepherd.
Whatever.
Like The Good Shepherd. And I know Brian disagrees with this, but...
Come on, defend this movie, fanboy. Let me know what you think.
Me, personally, I saw the tagline from Larry King on the front of the DVD that says, "The best spy movie ever," and I said, God, they should just substitute that and make it the longest spy movie ever, because it was absolutely... atrociously boring.
Well, you know what? This seems to be very good that it comes out the same week as Death of a President, because, again, it was boring. And I'm sure it was incredibly accurate to spy movies, or to the real spy trade, because spying is not exactly an exciting job. I mean, it's interesting, but it's boring. It's like watching somebody hack a computer. You know, so just... But I'd rather watch Jennifer Garner kicking people's butt in Alias, and I know that's completely
fantasy.
Right, or
fantasy. Even Elektra at this point.
I'd even settle for Elektra over The Good Shepherd.
You guys are selling that film way too short.
All right, Brian, you have 20 seconds to defend this film.
Defend, go.
You know, I have to say, I mean, I think it was marketed incorrectly. I don't think it's really a spy movie as much as it is a history of the CIA. It's as if, you know, someone were to say, I'm going to make a movie about the history of U.S. government. I mean, it probably wouldn't be all that great. You could throw a bunch of stars in it, and it would get some tickets sold. I mean, that's kind of the thing that happened with Good Shepherd. It was a good movie. Yes, there were some flaws. It had a really butt-numbing runtime to it.
Yeah.
But it had its fine points, and De Niro is pretty good behind the camera, just as he is in front of it.
Here's my question. Were you not bothered by the fact that Matt Damon didn't age one day in the movie? They said, you know what, here he is. And the worst part about it is they did flashbacks. They're like, here he is when he's like 45. Let's flashback when he's in college. And he looks the same. He has the same glasses on, for crying out loud.
You know, I'm gonna take the really cop-out defense here and just say, you know, it's a movie.
Oh, don't even give me that.
There are people in Iran with bombs pointed at my house because I said it's a movie.
You know, Angelina Jolie, though, I have to say, did look pretty haggard towards the end.
Yeah, but you know, I'll bet you she looked rough when she wakes up in the morning. Brad Pitt does not have a fun sight to look at when he rolls
over. I'm sure he doesn't want to make any more Zimbabwean babies with her. But I do agree with you, Brian, in the sense that this is more of a historical flick, and it does belong on the History Channel in the middle of the night. So,
especially for the insomniacs out there, you know, they could do it back to back.
I know some people who really got into this movie who were like, I love history, and I'm like, I don't like it that much.
Oh, well. Well, that's the wrap-up for DVDs. Other ones out this week, you got just ones I want to plug, because you got Twin Peaks, season 2, The Natural, Director's Cut, Bedazzled, because, you know, Elizabeth Hurley looks hot and, you know...
In a devil outfit, I mean...
Exactly. Oh, and then, of course, Black Christmas, which sucked, so don't bother.
Absolutely don't buy Black Christmas. No, and The Natural was another good pick.
Yes. So that's about it. Coming up next, we've got an interview with Josh Hutcherson. We're going to do a spotlight on Brian, what he's looking forward to this summer, and we'll recap the movies. All right, and welcome back to Fat Guys at the Movies. And right now we've got an interview with our special guest, Josh Hutcherson, a guy from down by Cincinnati in Kentucky area. Huh? So we're going to talk to him a little about Firehouse Dog. Hey, Josh, how are you doing?
Hey, I'm great. How about you?
Great. Now tell us a little bit about Firehouse Dog.
Firehouse Dog is about this dog who is a movie star, and he can do all these cool and awesome like stunts for this movie, for all his movies, and he can hit marks, and he can do all this crazy stuff. And one day, he gets lost doing a stunt, and he comes into my life and starts to cause all these problems. And throughout the movie, we kind of build a relationship together.
Now, Josh, did the dog steal the spotlight at all?
He did steal the spotlight. Everybody wanted to love and pet the dog, and he was great. He was awesome. There's actually 4 different dogs that played the character Rex, and each one of the dogs had their own like attributes. Like, one dog could like jump really high, and the other one could run fast, and one could look at marks, and one could like speak and do all the different stuff.
And tell us how you prepared to work with the dogs.
We had about a 2-week period before we started shooting where I had time to get used to being around the dogs and the trainers. And there were a couple times during the movie when the trainers, it was too wide of a shot, and the trainers couldn't be too close to, like, tell it all what to do. So I had to tell it to sit or help it stay on a certain mark.
Were the dogs real or CGI?
There was a couple times where they had these special effects and like computer generated stuff because the dog had to be like flipping through the air or something, pretty unrealistic. But most of the stuff, actually, it was really the dog. Like when he skateboarded, it was the dog. When he jumped off the roof, it was the dog, but they just like cut it in different ways. So they had different bits of him where he was close to the ground and stuff like that. But yeah, it was The dog did quite a few of the amazing stuff, stunts.
Now, what other movies do you want to do?
I want to do movies that are very different from each other. That way I can, it's more fun, first of all, to get to play different characters and go through different scenarios of people's lives, but also just to kind of show the audience that I can do a wide variety of movies.
Now tell us, well, what are you doing next?
Right now I'm doing a smaller independent film movie, and that's a very dark dark script, and that is kind of what I'm doing right now, so that's where I'm aimed at for the moment.
One thing I find is interesting is you started out with smaller parts and they got bigger. Now you're headlining. What's it like to be a headliner?
It's cool. It's fun to know that I finally worked my way to that position, and now I'm here and I'm loving it. But I'm always open to not doing necessarily leading roles, because I want to do roles that are the best, like, character-wise, going to be the most fun to play. And sometimes it's not going to be a leading role. It's going to be a smaller supporting role. So I'm open to really doing anything.
Who do you want to work with in the future in terms of actors?
Well, right now I'm doing this movie called Winged Creatures, and it's a huge, amazing cast, and it's amazing because it's such a small, low-budget independent film. It's with Forrest Whitaker, Kate Beckinsale, Dakota Fanning, Guy Pearce, Jennifer Hudson, Jackie Earle Haley. So there's like two Academy Award winners and Academy nominations. So that's a great cast, and I'm excited to work with all these people. They're all really, really nice. I started filming this past week, and it's been awesome. So I'm doing that, and I really hope to work with Jake Gyllenhaal in the future. That's kind of like, he's somewhat my idol, just because, I don't know, he chooses movies that are really great. They're great roles, and I think he's an all-around good actor. He seems like a really nice guy, too.
Now, how are you going about keeping your career on the right path as you get older?
I have to choose the right movies right now, because so many young actors, as soon as they turn a teenager, they kind of just fade away because they don't make the transition correctly, or they try to do kid roles too long. And so me and my parents and my manager and my agency were all working to find the right film for me to do. And I think right now it's not doing younger movies. I mean, of course you go and do a younger movie every now and then to kind of keep your fan base that you have so well. But you also have to spread out there and do a wide variety of things.
Did anything weird happen on the set when you were working on this film?
Well, at one point there was one of the four dogs. For some reason, he started growling at me one day. It was the weirdest thing, because like this entire time I hadn't done anything wrong to him or anything, and he started growling at me one day. And after that, I wasn't allowed to work with him anymore.
Now, Josh, would you work with animals again?
Oh yeah, I'd love to. I love dogs. I love animals, so I'm definitely open to working with them again.
Josh, thank you so much for taking time to talk to us.
Oh no, thank you.
All right, well, now we have our less special guest. I'm sorry, you're not a movie star yet, Brian, but you are our special guest today. You're
and
special.
And you are a fellow fat guy,
yes.
So you're good.
Yeah. Josh is not fat, so the heck with him. But, Brian, you're not going to be with us in the next couple weeks. We want to see what you think about the upcoming summer movie season. It's a lot of huge movies. We talked a little bit about it last week, and we're going to do a little bit more of a spotlight next week. But, Josh, Brian, you tell us what you think about what's coming out.
Well, I mean, I really do think that this summer is going to be a crazy blockbuster summer, even bigger than last. Pirates coming out, Transformers, and then...
Transformers.
Transformers. Yeah.
I know there's some Michael Bay. Haters out there. But,
well, if he didn't make Pearl Harbor, it would make everything else better.
And Bad Boys, too.
I like Bad Boys.
Hey, what are you most looking forward to, Brian?
Because I am a comic fanboy, other than, Spider-Man and Fantastic Four, probably one of the lesser talked about movies out there, because I'm a huge fanboy of Wes Anderson.
Black Lightning.
No.
The Fantastic Mr. Fox.
No, Darjeeling Limited. If you guys haven't heard about it out there, it has Natalie Portman, Owen Wilson, Adrian Brody, Jason Schwartzman. And it's nice because it seems like Wes Anderson has a thing for working with the Coppola family. He's doing some writing with Roman Coppola, and I'm just really looking forward to it.
Is Natalie Portman going to be nude?
You know what? I hope so. But I really don't know what's going on with that.
I better give her a call. Tell her to take down those panties in the middle.
You know, maybe I'll call her when I leave you guys.
Okay.
All right. Now, speaking of movies that we're excited about, one that's coming out in the next couple of weeks, we're going to talk about this, but my number one pick is Hot Fuzz.
Hot Fuzz, I'm looking forward to. I've seen the ads all the time, and it still makes me laugh, which is a huge deal.
Simon Pegg, Nick Frost, those two can do no wrong in my mind.
Yeah, I am looking forward to it. I'm, of course, the big ones, Spider-Man and everything. Well, you had a beef with the new Spider-Man trailer, don't you?
I absolutely am. I'm pissed off about Spider-Man.
Ooh.
Okay, I am not happy for all the fans out there very not happy about the fact that they showed Venom. Not only did they showed Venom, showed a couple action shots in the last trailer, which is apparently very tough to find online.
I heard that he was having it pulled because Venom was worried about the sex tape scandal.
My thing is, why show Venom if that's the big draw of the movie? Every fanboy, every Spider-Man comic book junkie that spends 90% of their time in a comic book shop wants to see Venom, and we see it in the trailer. So now it's like, all right, I'm going to go see the movie, but come on, I'm not really that excited about it anymore. So I was really kind of disappointed in that. And we talked last week about the Pirates trailer. I'm a big fan of releasing the trailer late. Spider-Man, I feel like I've seen the whole movie already.
Well, you know, unless you can't find the Venom trailer online, you know, so that maybe they dropped it out there so people would freak out like you just did.
Absolutely.
And we might end up with something pretty cool. Anyways, we got to go to break now. We're going to come back and do a little bit of a recap of the movies, and we're going to talk about some upcoming features in the next show. And here we are for our final segment of Fat Guys at the Movies. We are going to recap real quick the movies that are coming out this week. It was kind of a sucky weekend, but there is a little bit of redeeming grace there. We had Are You Done Yet, which I saw. Nobody else had the courage to go see. It kind of sucked. You have Firehouse Dog, which, again, I saw, had the courage to go see, and my kids saw it. I
it was the kids, man. If I had kids, I'd have to go see it.
Burping, Farting Dog kind of sucked, but, you know, hey, for the kids. Then you had The Hoax, which I kind of said kind of sucked.
I'm going to go with you and kind of sucked.
Kind of sucked. Then we had The Reaping, which was a full-blown suck from both sides, I believe.
Yeah, and I had a full-blown suck. Brian, what was yours on The Reaping?
I would have to concur.
Concur. All right, excellent. He's concurring with the suck.
Concurring with the suck. And then, of course, you have Grindhouse, which is the redeeming quality of the weekend. Double feature, Quentin Tarantino, Robert Rodriguez, exploitation, sex, violence. That was a rocks.
Definitely rocks. I loved it.
All right. Ish. What do we got coming up next week?
So we're looking forward to next week. We've got a couple great releases. Hopefully, great releases.
Yeah, you say that now. We said that about Reaping.
My future sugar mama, Halle Berry in Perfect Stranger with Giovanni Ribisi and Bruce Willis.
When she's 80.
We've also got Shia LaBeouf, who is going to have a big year if Transformers hits
his
big.
His current sugar mama.
In Disturbia. We've also got some limited releases. Aqua Teen, Hunger Force, : movie film for theaters, which has the longest title since Borat.
And has no, actually, it's a colon as a punctuation mark. It's not your colon that.
But they spelled the same.
Yeah.
So, and we've also got a couple small ones. Redline, which if you're on MySpace, you've seen Redline being advertised, and Slow Burn, which I haven't seen Slow Burn, so we'll keep the verdict out on that one.
And Pathfinder.
And Pathfinder. I always forget about Pathfinder because it's taken this darn movie like 8 years to get out.
Psycho Viking coming back from.
Yes, it was a Viking. I don't know.
The Vikings left. They come to the new world. They wipe out a bunch of people. And they leave a Viking child, and he grows up into a Tarzanish type thing, and then kills everybody. It's sort of like Apocalypto, sounds like.
Okay. All right. Well, I'll go with you on that one. And also next week we're gonna do a little bit of a Fat Guys at the Summer Movies. And if you have any questions about the show. You can visit us at filmschoolrejects.com/podcast. And you can email us at fatguys@filmschoolrejects.com if you want to send us a little bit of hate mail. We appreciate that. If you just want to tell us how much you like Brian, he should replace me, per se, which isn't true. Just go ahead and shoot us those emails. You can also find us on dig.com and podcastalley.com.
See you later.